This series that I'm looking at, Encounters of the Living Christ, we're going to go through and look at a number of different times when the disciples and that met with Jesus after his resurrection. And this first time we're going to be looking at is here in Luke 24. I encourage you to open up your Bibles to that. We're going to begin at verse 13. I know this is a longer passage, but as we go down through it here, we're going to read down through, verse 35. And being a longer passage, if you don't feel like rising and aren't able to do that, that's okay. But if you can, please do, for God's holy word and the God of the word. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning, they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had also said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 who were there with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread." Amen. You may be seated. Where's your hope? Do you keep it tucked in your back pocket? Is it under your chair? Where's your hope? Those disciples walking along the road that day, they were terribly sad. They had lost their hope. They lost it. If you're following along in the outline on your bulletins there, that first question is where is our hope? And for some, hope has been lost. Hope has been lost. And how sad that is when hope has been lost. These two disciples were in a crisis, weren't they? As if everything they had hoped for had died. That's where they were. And there are many things that may bring us to these same spots sometimes. People become disillusioned because things don't go the way that they had expected or hoped it would. And how sad it is when professing Christians put their hope in their ideas rather than in Christ. And when difficulties come and they don't get what they wanted, they give up the faith and walk away. There are a lot of reasons that people lose hope. Some hope for change. Others hope to go back to the old traditions. Seems like their hope is lost. For some others, hope might be hiding somewhere, hidden just out of sight. For these disciples, in some sense, the hope was still hiding behind a stone when they left Jerusalem. Or at least they thought so. What happened here and having their hope hidden, they just can't see it. And for the last couple days, that's exactly where their hope did lay, in that tomb, isn't it? And they couldn't bring themselves to see with their hearts what they had not yet seen with their eyes. The women came that morning and told them the tomb was empty. The angels told us he's alive. And yet they weren't ready to grasp that. Their hope was hidden. Sometimes people's hope is hidden behind a deep hurt and grief. Wounded by life and family and even the church sometimes, and they feel helpless and abandoned by God. Others might be product of terrible, tragic events. And that hurt is hiding their hope, and they just can't see it. Other times it's great difficulties or disabilities or unexpected outcomes or disappointments. Sometimes hope is hiding behind fear of what tomorrow might bring. Fear of struggles and suffering that is coming. Sometimes hope is hidden, isn't it? For many, hope has been misplaced. The disciples on that road that morning, these two, they were hoping that Jesus was the Redeemer of Israel. Now, is Jesus the Redeemer of Israel? Yes! Amen to that. But their hope, their idea of this Redeemer of Israel, was more of a political thing than a religious thing. More of an earthly kingdom model than it was about the forgiveness of sins and salvation and life eternally. And so as we chew on this and how their hope was misplaced in these things, how many put their hope in who's elected president, thinking that's going to change everything? Leaves us disappointed every time, doesn't it? And some people get all wrapped up in it. And some people wrap it up in Christianese and make a big show out of it. And when the election doesn't go their way, oh, they're shattered because their hope is misplaced. Sometimes it's misplaced because of misunderstanding. They forget that we really live in a fallen and broken world. And sin's corruption affects every one of us, doesn't it? Not just those outside the church walls, over here or over there, but right here. Right here. Do we begin to comprehend how fallen and broken we are and how much we desperately need Christ? In Isaiah 59, the Lord looked around. Oh, there's no one to save. Not one, he said. And so then the Lord himself, by his own arm, had to bring salvation. And that salvation is in his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, as we look and ponder upon this, how many have hope been misplaced? And so they go around saying, well, if God loved me, he really wouldn't let this happen. If God was good, then bad things wouldn't happen. And it leads into all kinds of error and a hopelessness. Yes, For some, hope is lost. For others, it is hidden. For many, it is misplaced. But for the Christian, friends, our hope is kept. Is kept. Kept in diligence. Meditating upon God's word day and night. Spending that time in prayer. One of the blessings of this congregation was when we would gather together for prayer. And knowing that this congregation was praying us through seminary. And probably even through our internship. What a blessing. Do we keep our hope diligently? Do we spend that time reading God's word, spending that sometimes hard times there? Times that convict us of our sin and expose our doubts and struggles. Do we keep it? And are we holding on to this hope which is found in Christ? Being faithful in the little things. As it says in Luke chapter 16, that the one who's faithful in the little things is also faithful with much. But the one who's not faithful and the little things will not be faithful with much. So what's your devotional life like, friends? What's your prayer life like? Because if you're not being faithful there, you will not be able to stand faithful when the hard things come. And sometimes hard things come, don't they? And they come right to our front door. But for the Christian, our hope is kept. And we continue to resist the devil. First, we submit, as it says in James 4, you submit to God and resist the devil. And do not stop resisting him. Do not give in the fight. Do not give him that foothold in your life. No, we have to keep the faith. And we have to have this right understanding and be sober-minded. Hear these words from the prophet, or sorry, the apostle Peter. Chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. We got to have our wits about us. We cannot be thinking with our hearts. We got to be thinking with our heads. This world is so lost today in so many ways because they try to think with their hearts and they try to think with their emotions. And it leads to all kinds of error and struggles and strife and sin and hurt. No, be sober-minded, the scripture calls us. And then it says, resist the devil. This one who is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Guard each other. Protect each other there. Keep the faith. Yes, for the Christian, hope is kept. Now we need to ask the question, what is your hope? What kind of hope do you have? Is it fickle? Or is it steadfast? Is it a hope that comes and goes? Like the stock market or so on? Or is it a hope that endures and shines through even on the darkest of days? Is your hope eternal? Or is it only temporal? Is it a long-term thing that is able to take the hits when that comes? But you know it will pay off in the end. Or are you just running for the short game? Tossed about like waves upon the sea. What kind of a hope do you have? Do you have a secure hope? Relying on your ability to remain secure in your own steadfastness or strength? Or are you relying upon Christ? I warned my daughter that I was going to share this story this morning. When we were still living north of Hazen and that, and our daughter Casey was 4 or 5 years old maybe at the time. And at that time, we bought in the world's lie. If you're good little boys and girls, then Santa will come. That's not the gospel, is it? Not in the least, but that's what the world teaches. And so we were trying to teach her, and she was not a naughty child, but she was a very, very busy child. In fact, one time when I had her and her brother at church and Paula was having to be at work that Sunday morning, I just about put her in the collection plate. Thought, God, you can deal with her for a week and I'll pick her up next week, okay? But what a child, what a wonderful daughter she's become. And what a blessing she is to our lives. But when she was little, about 4 or 5 years old, she says, I just can't be good. Isn't that true of each and every one of us? If you're trying to keep the faith in your own strength, you're going to fail. But we need to keep it in Christ and be secure in Christ. Because our hope is a historical thing. You know what? Jesus really died on a cross, on a Roman cross, didn't he? Some 2,000 years ago. And he was buried in a tomb. And he really did rise from that grave. Hallelujah! He's risen! He's risen! And that changes everything. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We can have that kind of hope. A hope that it's our essence of our hope, isn't it, that matters. The object of our hope. The disciples were looking for this redemption of Israel, that loaded theological term. And if you're looking for that, forget it. If you're looking for an easy life, if you're looking for the perfect family or spouse, if you're looking for that perfect job, or if that's where your hope is, you're going to miss it. If your hope is, oh, I can make it through affliction, that misses it too. It comes short. If your hope, and this isn't a small deal, but if your hope is only for forgiveness, you're missing it there too. If your hope is only dealing with your past and forgetting about eternity with Christ, being surrounded by the glory of the Lord, surrounded by His love and His grace for all eternity, to be in His presence, that's where our hope is. It's not just stuck to the here and now. It's what awaits us. Oh, what a glorious thing awaits us. Yes. And what level of a hope do we have? What kind of expectations do you have of that hope in Christ in glory? Young married couples, they're so excited about life together. It's fun watching this couple over here that you get to watch too. They're still young, aren't they? Yeah. Still have great expectations. And then my wife says, oh, there's no way she'd try to train another one.
First one's too stubborn, isn't it?
That's right. And so as we look at this, what is our level of hope? Do you have just a little level? Or do you have a lot? Where are you at with the Lord on this? Do you really believe that God is able to do far more than we can imagine or think, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can come with each and every one of you and bear with you for the things that you're going through right now? I really mean that. How big is your God? Is He able to get you through the broken relationships? Is He able to keep you and hold you together as a congregation? That answer is yes, isn't it? Absolutely yes. This is who our God is. The one who spoke the world into existence. The heavens and the earth and everything in them. The one who separated the Red Sea. The one who walks on water. The one who raises the dead. That's where our hope is. And we have that great hope. Oh, the realities of these things, friends. What is your hope? And who is your hope? As we've been going around this a little bit, our hope is in the Lord God Almighty. One time I was able to visit one of my sisters and down in Cheyenne, kind of went back to home, and they're a part of a Greek Orthodox church down there, a church that I was baptized in when I was a little child. And one part of their liturgy, the service that they have every week, they repeat this phrase, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. The Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty. Sometimes we forget He's Almighty, don't we? This is who our hope is in. The Lord Almighty. Our hope is not in some ideas or ideals. Our hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Not some theological thoughts or wishful thinking. Not in some man's philosophy or logic or empty tradition. Absolutely not. Our hope is in Him. And we cling to Him. Our hope is in this living Christ. This resurrected Christ. This one who was walking and talking with those disciples that first Easter morning. The incarnate Son of God, who died for our sins and was raised with power to life again. The second person of the Trinity, who is coming again to judge the living and the dead. This Jesus, He is our hope. And our hope is not always seen. Those disciples that day, somehow, some way, were not told just the details of it, but they were prevented from recognizing Him first that morning. But hope is always like that. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, "For in hope we have been saved, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." Yeah, times our hope is not seen. But we trust in the Lord for what is just out of sight. They couldn't see Him. They couldn't recognize Him. But was their hope any less real? Was Jesus any less real on that road? Not in the least. He was as real as He ever was, just as He is as real today. In our congregation at times, I will ask our parishioners to the person next to them, just give them a little loving pinch. Will you do that for a moment? Not hard. We don't need any, ouch, right? But that's a good reminder. That person sitting next to you is a real person, isn't it? With real flesh and real blood. And Jesus is that real person too, isn't He? That real. And sometimes I think we forget about that. This hope is seen. And as we come to our final stretch here, our hope is returned. Those disciples, they were hopeless, and then Jesus started teaching them from the Scriptures. Their hope is returned, and it's renewed by the Word of God. He reminded them of God's holy Word about what all the Old Testament said about the Christ. And their bosoms were burning. Yes, this is that hope being restored. And they come together and they eat. And when Jesus raised up and gave thanks, they recognized Him. So our hope is not only restored by opening up our Bibles and reading our Bibles and understanding them and what they say, but our hope is also restored when you gather at this rail and receive the body and blood of Christ and the sacrament, our hope is restored. Do not neglect that in these days. It's renewed by the Word of God, printed on the page as well as in physical form. Their hope was renewed and refreshed with His presence, knowing that Jesus really is this God who comes and dwells with us and among us. He's that great Emmanuel, the one who speaks through us through his word, the one who blesses us and keeps us. The one, His presence and His promises that refresh us day by day. And our hope is repaired by God coming to us. There are three places God has promised, Christ has promised, you can always find Him. Three places. In His Word. So when you open up your Bibles, do not just read words on a page. Look to see the God who placed them there. Secondly, where two or more gathered in His holy name. That's a corporate setting like this, the church. And thirdly, in that sacrament, He says, "This is My body. This is My blood." And He's given it for you. We are refreshed with His presence. And we're restored among other believers. Those two disciples, what did they do? They ran back to Jerusalem, that 7 miles. And got there and had to meet with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And then Jesus, if we didn't read verse 36, but boom, He shows up there too. What a wonderful thing. And that call to continue to gather together. And as you guys continue to walk through this season, it is good to see so many of you here this morning. We can be restored and our hope renewed. This is truly the good news of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning and this season together. We continue to thank You for Your mercy and grace. We would ask You that You would guard and keep us day by day. And Lord, truly, renew our hope, O Lord, and strengthen and encourage us. For we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.